for the privilege and the opportunity is for us to gather together this morning. God, thanks for the opportunity you give us this morning to reflect back over this last year and think about all the good things that you did in and through this church body, the hours of volunteer service that people put in to help make all the different things happen that happened during this year. And Father, I pray that you'd fill our soul this morning with a sense of joy, thinking about how you really are alive and at work, not only in the world, but in this church and in our life. And help us to leave here encouraged, thinking about you and who you are and what you've done and the hope that we have for the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, good morning, everybody. So this is, if you've never been here before, just so you know, this is not like our normal Sunday morning service. This is what we call our year in review, where we kind of take a minute to think back about some of the different things that happened here at CDR Community Church over the last year. One of the things I will tell you that's absolutely impossible to do, you can never, even in an hour, if the service was an hour long, you could never capture all the different things and opportunities and things that happened just here in the building during the week in one service. So it's always kind of hard to kind of go back through and figure out some of the highlights. And I try and figure out different highlights each year from things that happened here. So everybody ready? One thing that'll be a little bit different this morning is you like get a fire hose feel of what happened at Sierra Community Church. One thing I'll do a little different this morning, I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the things that you can look forward to 2019 also. So I always like starting because it's always interesting to think about how long we subjected you to having to sit here on a Sunday morning. So I look back on the webpage and I go through and I count back looking at the times for each service. Who do you think was the longest? I don't know how Dan got this reputation as being the longest. Actually, I do know, and it's well-deserved, because Dan is almost every year the longest, but believe it or not, it was not Dan this year. So who do you think it was, Corbin or me? It was me. You guys got it. You know what's going on. Yeah. So on June 24th, during our series, Sex, Love, and God, you've got to give me a little bit of a break, because when you talk about sex, love, and God, there's a lot to talk about. So I should get a pass for being 56 minutes that Sunday, which, even though this is a long Sunday, it's a lot shorter than that, even with communion today. Okay, what about the shortest? Who was the shortest this year?
Corbin.
What? No Dan's? Yeah, you're right. It was not Dan. I will give Dan, I love throwing Dan under the bus for different things. It's one of my favorite pastimes here at Sierra Community Church. But Dan, every year, tells us at staff meeting, I'm going to be shorter this year. I'm going to be shorter. I'm going to really work on being shorter. And he never is, except Christmas did come early this year. Because Dan, to his credit, really has been shorter this year. Dan, I know you're up in your office, but thank you. Let's all clap so he can hear that. Come on. Thank you, Dan. All right, yeah, and it was not Corbin, it was me. I gave you a Christmas present a couple days early, December 23rd on our series, The Arrival of the Messiah. And I get credit because we're just talking about a little baby that Sunday, so there's not that much to talk about anyway, so that's why I was so short that day. All right, we did a whole bunch. We covered a lot of ground this last year. How many different series do you think we did during the year? Count, you show me with your fingers, 4, 5... fingers and toes, 9, 7, 14. Yeah, believe it or not, we did 9 series this year. It's hard to believe. We covered a lot of ground. Everything from Old Testament stuff, like we talked about the Psalms for a month. We did the book of Esther in a month. The majority of the time at the beginning of the year, we spent time talking about how you can know God through his attributes, who he reveals who he is. That was the majority of our time that we spent this year was at the beginning of the year. Summer, we did a 7-week series on sex, love, and God, which was, I think it's the most downloaded series that we've ever done online. And that's the great thing about this. I really hope that this morning God will bring back to your mind because surely at least one Sunday out of the 52 Sundays this year, surely one Sunday God spoke to you about something significant. I'd love for you to be able to do what I did this last week, which was just go back through and look and listen to a ton of great material. I'd really encourage you, because it's all available online, to go back and listen to that stuff. All right, thinking about, I told you, we're going to talk about this next year, 2019. So I give you an idea of where we're going. We're going to spend the first 4 months of this next year looking at the life of Jesus through the book of Luke. So if you want to start getting a heads up on that, you can do that, start reading ahead. Now, I didn't do this first service, and it's always dangerous to add things because it makes my sermon longer, but I really do want to do this real quick. In all the years I've done the year in review, one of the ministries I've never talked about before, because there's no way you can do all of them, but one of the things I was thinking about is every Sunday morning when we preach, and no matter what book of the Bible we're doing, no matter what service you come to on a Sunday morning, you can come to our first one, our 9 o'clock, you can come to this service, you can come tonight, and you know one thing that is true all year long, every service, is we will stand up at the end of our announcements, and we will dismiss the kids downstairs. And most, you know, a lot of you take advantage of our Sunday school program down there, but not all of you do. But every week, every Sunday, the nursery and Sunday school is staffed by amazing teachers. And so I want them downstairs. I want them to ask after Sunday school. I want them to ask, what was all that noise upstairs? I want you right now to help me let them know this service, how much we appreciate all that they do with the kids at the nursery. So I need you to clap and stomp your feet. So they are like, is there a herd of elephants? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. That's good. I hope that'll get their attention. And if you're in here, because I know a lot of people rotate through down there, thank you for your investment in helping us make that such a valuable time for all of our kids that are down there enjoying Sunday school during the week. All right. If you, when you leave the auditorium, if you go out through the lobby on the right-hand side, there's a missions map. We put that up this last year, and it gives people an opportunity to see with all those different pin drops where all of our missionaries are working around the world. It's pretty cool. This year in our budget, we added another missions organization. One of the things that's great is a portion of every single dollar that you put in our offering, it doesn't just stay here, but we have 27 different missionaries and missions organizations that we support that are working literally around the world. And so next to the missions map, there are this rack with these cards on it. And this year, we added a new organization, the Bible Project, because we have used their stuff so much. And they are a missions organization. It's a great opportunity for us to be able to contribute to them and their ministry. Now, if you don't know the Bible very well, or you're looking for a brief overview of any of the books in the Bible, you can go to thebibleproject.com and you can watch, download for free. They have a ton of great resources. In less than 8 minutes, they do an amazing overview of every single book of the Bible. Not only that, they're working right now to translate because it's such a hit. And so many people are taking advantage of it. They're working to translate it into a ton of languages to make it available for different people. They not only do they have a summary of each of the books of the Bible, they have a whole bunch of other really good resources. If you're a podcast person, I cannot highly enough recommend their podcast. It's outstanding. Now, one of the things we did out there on our missions cards, and I hope that you'll make a commitment this next year to pray for our missionaries. And one of the easy ways to do that is that rack out there, it's not just so it's pretty to look at. We want you to take a card out of there and take many. Take them often. Take them home. Put them on your refrigerator. Put them next to your bed. When you pray at night with your family, spend time praying for these missionaries. This year we added at the bottom, not only where in terms of country the missionaries work, but at the bottom of each one, we put a little description of what each different missionary or missions organization does. If you watch the news, one of the things that you I think you see like a reoccurring theme is I think a lot of people feel like kids today are irresponsible, lazy, and people are, I think, in angst about if we turn our country over to these kids, what's going to happen to our world? You know, they're putting off getting married. They don't keep jobs. They're living at home longer and longer. And I think that people sometimes think, oh my gosh, we're in bad shape. But I think honestly, and I think if you don't just take what the news tells you, but if you look around, and I'd say just look around our church, and you will see some absolutely amazing young people that are absolutely committed to Jesus and living out His mission. One of the easy ways to see this is if you just look at our missions program. We've got four missionaries in their 20s that have been working overseas. You see up there Michelle Carter. Michelle's been in South Africa for the last couple of years. Before she was in South Africa, Michelle was working in Thailand for a bunch of years. Jordan is currently and has been for the last couple of years working in Thailand. Tim McSparren is working out of France, primarily in Jordan, and he's been there for the last 2 years. Another young lady named Crystal, who's in our 20-somethings group, Crystal is in Indonesia, and she's going to be there for the next a little more than a year. I think our future of our world is not anywhere near as bleak as a lot of people would lead you to believe. If you think about this last year in your own life, probably one of the things that God has used to encourage, teach, challenge you in your own life isn't just what happens here on Sunday morning. This is probably just a drop in the bucket in terms of thinking about the things that God has used in your life. But when I think about people that God has placed in my life that have been an encouragement to me, I have a hard time thinking that there's been a family that has been a bigger source of encouragement to me personally than the Beatty family. Their son went through a horrific, debilitating accident early this year. We spent weeks every week giving you updates about what was going on with him, praying for him, and he's made remarkable progress. It's really amazing. Here's the thing. That family was never unsettled because of what happened. Their circumstances never determined their sense of peace. And anybody that watched them over this past year knows that's true. And it's really evident. A lot of people talk about how their life is built on the hope of Jesus and who He is and what He's done for them. And that family has really demonstrated what it looks like when your life really is built on Jesus and something absolutely flips you sideways happens. And has anybody been a bigger encouragement to you or me than Rocky has been? Rocky was such a jovial, happy young man before the accident. Crazy, because he was during the process of recovery, and he is today. At some point you would think that smile that he has, that joy, you would think at some point it would go away. He'd be like, this might be my new reality. But he's still Rocky, and he's the same Rocky he was before. And he's the same Rocky that's working today up in our sound booth. Thanks, buddy. What a great encouragement that family has been to us. One of the things we started doing after this service is we spent giving people the opportunity to spend time praying after the service. And so almost every Sunday for the last couple of months, and today is a rare exception. We've had prayer teams in the back for people just during this service to be able to spend time going back to the back corner to spend some time praying with people as God has laid burdens and concerns or things that they're trying to work through. It's been a great resource and asset to our church. And prayer is really something that as a Christian should be the underpinning of every one of our lives and experience. This year we took 6 weeks and we spent time talking about, on Sunday mornings, what does it look like for you and I to spend more time talking with God really in a regular and very authentic way? And so I went back and I looked at a whole bunch of our series this year. And so one of the ones I looked at was this one, and I listened to a couple of the messages, looked at the slides from it. Dan really did a great job talking about prayer, and he built his message about how do you pray for healing and restoration in your life. And he built the message on 2 Chronicles, which starts out by saying, if my people who are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves. And so the first of several things, prerequisites Dan talked about, for if you want to experience healing and restoration, one of the things you have to do is you have to be a humble person. You guys know I love giving Dan a hard time on Sunday mornings. But Dan is a gifted communicator. And this Sunday was one of those ones where he really helped you see a concept that we all talk about. Everybody I know that's a Christian talks about and understands how important humility is in your life. But Dan is so good at help taking concepts, even everyday ones that we think we know really well, and helping make them concrete for us. And so he did this with humility. He says, so let's ask this question. What does humility look like in our lives? He says, humility, and if you read through his notes, they're great. He says, it's a person who confesses your sin to God regularly. Someone who, when they're wronged, forgives immediately. When you're treated unfairly, you don't feel like you have to defend yourself, but you allow God to fight those battles for you and vindicate you. He took that right out of the life of David and how David worked through times when he was treated unfairly. It's a person who accepts criticism and correction graciously. It's someone who looks for opportunities and ways to serve. Somebody who befriends people who have no status. It's somebody who's respectful to the authorities that God puts in their life. And it's somebody who takes the words of Jesus seriously, not as like a nice afterthought, but genuinely is invested in praying for their enemies. A couple weeks after that, we talked about one of the greatest gifts we have in our life is when God doesn't answer our prayers. If you're like me, you know, any time a difficulty, hardship, frustrating circumstance comes in my life, the first thing I do is say, God, please relieve me of my suffering. But you know what? One of the gifts that God brings into our lives is challenges and trials. And he does it because very oftentimes for most of us, that's where we experience the most growth in our life. See, God's more concerned with you becoming the man and woman he desires for you to be than your comfort. Rick Warren says this so well. He says, God is much more interested in your character, what you become, than you are your comfort. And if you're always just looking to be comfortable and relieved of your difficult time, you're going to have a hard time ever appreciating challenges, trials, and difficulties that come into your life. The way I illustrated this was from this clip from The Karate Kid. You guys know this movie, you know, the kid doesn't understand why he's being asked to paint the fence, right? Wax the car.
Show me paint the house, say, say. Knock wrist, side, side. Side, side. Yes. Show me wax on, wax off. Yes!
That!
Show me paint the fence.
That!
Show me side the side.
That!
Show me sand the floor.
That!
See, going through the hard times, the kid doesn't get it, does he? He's like, why am I doing all this stuff? And then at the end, he realizes, oh, maybe the master really knows what he's trying to teach me. And I wouldn't have gotten this valuable thing if I hadn't worked through all of this stuff. I wonder if our own lives, if when we trust God and work through difficulties, only then, at the end of hardships and trials, can we say also, maybe our master knows what we need and how to teach us better than we ever could have discovered ourselves. A lot of really fun things happen at Sierra Community Church week in and week out. I think you would be hard-pressed to find a ministry, though, that has more fun every week at our church than our junior high and our high school program. They do a ton of fun stuff all year long. It's really cool. And when I hear about some of the things they do, some of the things that some of my kids get to enjoy with them, I got a little jealous. I spent 16 years doing youth ministry before I moved up here. And it makes me go, I should go back to being a youth minister because that's where all the fun happens. But one of the things that is true about our youth ministry is not only do they have an enormous amount of fun, they have an incredible group of volunteers that Corbett has trained up and brought together to be his volunteer staff for junior high and high school. So, you know, as a parent, this is one of the reasons I'm thrilled to have, I've had three kids that are in or have gone through the junior high and high school. One of the reasons I'm thrilled to do that is because the volunteers that he has with those kids every week are outstanding people. And I am thrilled every minute that my kids get to spend with those people. And those people spend all this volunteer time, energy, and their own money to do the ministry that the high schoolers and junior highers do. Thank you guys very, very much. Yeah, amazing commitment that they make to our kids. Okay, so when you think about gifts that our church has, like the good things that God has given us. So I was in here, I snuck in here early December when the ladies did their Christmas event, their annual Christmas event, and 140 ladies showed up for it, packed the first area of our auditorium, packed with them. Robin Bender was, she did home run speaking. She was great. I like that, Kristen. Thank you. Thank you, Robin. She was good, wasn't she? She was good. So, like, when I was in, you know the thing that I marveled at, not how many ladies were here for that? I looked around and I go, God has gifted Sierra Community Church with an incredible group of Christ-honoring women in our church. And they're a gift not only to this church family, but to our entire community. And so I think when you think about, like, what are the resources that God has given us in our church to bless not only our church, but out there, the women of this church are an amazing resource and asset that God has given us. One of the most underappreciated resources in our world today are our grandparents. And we had a rare opportunity early in the year to be able to celebrate grandparents and the work that they're doing. Not only that, we had an opportunity to bring in a guy who did a great job of training and encouraging both current grandparents and affirming them in the role that God has called them to, but also speaking to people that eventually will be grandparents and thinking about what that looks like, what your calling is, and how you can be invested and excited about that role that God will hopefully call you to in the future. All right, so this may seem like an odd thing to do on a review Sunday, but we do these core values classes at our church. And they're sort of like the ongoing education, in-depth education from what you get here week in and week out. And our first class is our 101 class. We call it Mission and Membership. First opportunity to take that next year is going to be in February. And that class is exactly what the name means. We talk about what's the specific mission of Sierra Community Church. And what's your role or responsibility as part of that family? It's a fun class. We do a 101, a 201, and a 301 class. We usually do them at least once, most of them twice a year. We actually have a 401 class, and it's called Sharing Your Story. And the design of that class is, how do you, as a Christian who is excited about what God has done for you, how do you take that story of the hope that you have, and how do you communicate it to the people that God has placed in your life? And you know what? We have not done that class in 8 years. Isn't that crazy to think about? It's not because it's unimportant. The reason why is because if we're going to ask you to come out for something, anything, we want it to be compelling. And we were not enthusiastic about the model that we had for that class. And it's taken us a long time to sort of reboot that class. But we have a model that we are thrilled about. Your first opportunity to take that class in 8 years is going to be May of 2019. We'll give you the date here next week or in the next couple of weeks here, so you can put that on your calendar. Anybody remember when we did Sex, Love, and God, and we opened up one of the services with this? Marriage is like a deck of cards. In the beginning, all you need is two hearts and a diamond. By the end, you wish you had a club and a spade. I have you remember that. But, you know, one of the things that is true about life, and especially marriage, is it's a challenge. It's not easy. I don't know anybody, no matter how long they've been married or how good they say their marriage is, hasn't experienced real challenges. In fact, some of the most difficult challenges people have to work through are in their family and in their marriages, right? And so one of the things we did early in the year is we brought Bill Denny up, who's a counselor. He's as good a counselor as we know. He did a couple week seminar. You could go online, and each one of those sessions you can download and listen to again. And he was helping us think through some of these very things about marriage relationships, about relationships with your parents, and relationships with your kids, and marriage stuff. It was great. Okay, we spent 7 or 8 weeks in the summer doing Sex, Love, and God. Dan really nailed a big part of why we did this series in one of the weeks. He said, what's natural in our fallen world is for men to claim their entitlements and their rights in everything. And even in our marriages, we tend to do that. And the most natural thing in those kind of relationships in the world for gals is to either resent guys, become doormats, or fight for power. And this is the reality of sin in our lives and how the challenges as it works itself out in our marriages. He went on to say this, though. What if, ladies, if you knew that the predominant habit of your husband or boyfriend was to put your well-being ahead of his own, would you have a problem reciprocating? There's no guarantee that someone will do that in that situation. But I think we all have experienced that the simple answer to that is yes in every relationship, isn't it? So we were looking at this relationship between this man and this woman in the book of Song of Solomon. And Dan drew out of that, talking about how this works. In chapter 2, verse 3, he said, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest. Guys, not good material for pickup lines. But you get the picture here. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my beloved among the young men. She's extolling him. she draws out of that this illustration. She says, I delight to sit in his shade. So Dan talked about what does that mean? What does that look like for you to provide shade in relationships, especially in your marriages, but in all of life? And the amazing thing that we come to find out is what? When it says, when she says, I delight to sit in his shade, what does that kind of person look like? And Dan does a fantastic job going on to describe not just this guy and his character, but exactly who Jesus is and how he provides the shade that we all need in life. Providing for our needs that we can't take care of ourselves. Protection from the things we most need protection from. Always, God is always doing this. He's always seeking to help you become the best man and best woman you could ever be. That's what it looks like to provide shade for other people in your life as well. The only way that happens is if you, because we're like we said at the beginning, our natural inclination is towards sin, to do our own thing. And if that problem isn't solved, if you're not somehow reconciled to God, you're going to have a hard time experiencing that in your life. And so we talked about this idea of reconciliation several times in the beginning of the year. Corbett, the second message he did this year in the series, The God Who Can Be Known, talked about how God has made himself known through reconciling himself to us. And he drew on this, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He says, this idea of God bringing us to himself, he says, all this is, it's not from you, it's from God, who reconciled himself through Christ. See, what's the means of reconciliation for us to God? It's the work that Jesus did, right? Reconciled us to himself through Christ. And what did he do? See, here's the interesting thing. God did that, and what does he ask us to do? To be a part of the work of reconciliation in the world. John MacArthur, talking about this idea of reconciliation, says this really well. He says, how did God make this possible? And Jesus, he said, Jesus lived the perfect infancy, sinless, a perfect childhood, perfect adolescence. He was the perfect young man, perfect adult. Why was he all these things? So that the perfect life in its totality could be credited to your account and my account. See, and as a result of that, what does he say? In doing that, God treats Jesus, as if he lived our lives. That's, Jesus endures our punishment. Why does he do that? So that God could relieve the burden of guilt that we all have before him, so that God can treat us like his beloved child. What a gift. That's how reconciliation is possible. Through what Jesus did for us. A few weeks later, we continued talking about this. What I was talking about, reconciliation. And I used this definition from this theology book. It said, reconciliation. Think about what this says. Reconciliation that makes fellowship with God possible for all. It may be the... I mean, you think about all the things that Christianity is about. It says that idea of reconciliation could be the central idea of what Christianity is all about. We talk about it all the time here. And I think most people that take Christianity seriously would agree with that. And so we understand our necessity to be reconciled to God. And God tells us, interestingly enough, if you've been reconciled to him, he says, become an agent of reconciliation in the world. And for a lot of us, the idea of being reconciled to God is a really nice thing. But the idea of being reconciled to people that are your enemies, that can be a really challenging thing. I think it's so challenging that most of us don't even ever really attempt to do that. So as an illustration, I talked about this project I heard about from a Christian organization that was invited in to the country of Rwanda after the genocide. Absolute atrocities of murder, rape, and torture. The country significantly divided. They wanted to, how are we ever going to have a unified country again? And so the government said, this idea that Christianity brings this hope or this opportunity for reconciliation, if anybody's going to do this, let's invite them in to help us do this. And so I talked about this project, and we looked at what happened 20 years after the genocide, and this Christian organization came in. And we looked at the lives and the testimony of some of these people, the people that were murderers, rapers, and killers of husbands and children who had the opportunity to go and ask forgiveness to the women that they had committed some of these atrocities against. One of the guys said, I burned her house. I attacked her in order to kill her and her children. He said, but God protected them and they escaped. When I was released from jail, if I saw her, I would, because these people are living in these same villages. He says, I would run and hide. He said that a group, this Christian group, provided us with some training to have a good relationships with the person to whom you did these evil deeds. So I decided to ask her for forgiveness. And we thank God for that. This woman says, I used to hate him. When he came to my house, I knelt down before me and asked to be forgiven. I was moved by his sincerity. Now if I cry for help, he comes to rescue me. When I face any issue, I call on him. See, these people in this country, the amazing thing is they were able to find reconciliation. And I think what is as bad a situation as you could have. But this is the very hope that God gives us. It's the very thing that God asks us to do. Is the people that have wronged us and hurt us the most. If God has forgiven you and you consider that a gift, he asks us to be that kind of giver in life, to ask forgiveness from other people. And see, the amazing thing is, these stories were not uncommon ones, we found out, as we looked at the totality of what happened in that Rwanda project. And a lot of these people did the very thing that I hope this is your hope in life. Is that the people that mistreat you, the people that you're the most angry with, that your hope is that God could reconcile you to them and that they could worship the same God that you've come to worship and appreciate so much the forgiveness that he's offered you. Because we love relationships and spend so much time talking about them, we do a lot to celebrate relationships. One of the things we've done over the last couple of years, and this year was a huge highlight, was we did our father-daughter dinner, and we'll be doing that again this coming up this year, and in a couple of weeks. It's a great opportunity for fathers to celebrate the gift of their daughters, an opportunity for them to be able to show their daughters how much they love and care for them. When you think about gifts that our church has received, how about this one? I mean, it's hard to believe that Kristen and her family have been here less than a year, right? What an impact they have made, and what a gift they've been to our, not just to us on Sunday morning, but to the worship teams. It's funny because it feels like Kristen just like has always been here, doesn't it? Well, the reason why is because she was here forever. She took a several year, she and her family, a several year hiatus in Florida, exile, but what a gift it is to have them here. Now, when you think about things that God has done in our church family, anybody notice how much better Nick dresses this year?
Yes.
We have a young lady that's responsible for that is here this morning. Hi, Diana. Nick found truly his better half this year, and Nick and Diana got married this year. What a gift. That applause is for you, Diana, because we recognize what a gift you've been for Nick, so thanks. Nick has always been a smiley guy, right? But man, that guy, his smile has gotten bigger this year. He's been blessed with a good wife. whenever you do, you know, you look online and you see reviews of the last year, one of the things people always talk about is passings. How about this for a passing? Wow. Talk about somebody who reminded us all the time, anytime you saw Billy Graham's picture, what did you do? You think, there's a man who loved God and wanted other people to know him. And gosh, what an impact that man has had around the world during his lifetime. And he was truly a gift that God gave us that will be missed. Shoes that are way too big to be filled by any one person, it seems like. But that's the whole thing. God doesn't ask one person to do it. He asks us all to do it, right? Not any one person. But our church has also really suffered, especially in the last couple of months. We've lost some really amazing people that have been gifts to us. We celebrated the life of Norma and her passing, Jim and his ministry here at this church. And I don't, you know, you think about people that, if you went back and you talked about the history of Sierra Community Church and our almost 60 years that we've been in South Lake Tahoe, one of the absolute cornerstones, gifts that God has given us in this church is Barbara. Man, oh man, was she just a treasure? Greatly missed, amazing woman of God. We also had the opportunity to celebrate some new births, some new people that came into our family that stood up in front of us and said, I want you to know that I take Jesus seriously in my life. Joanna, that was one of the highlights of my year, was going to talk with you back in that room before we did our baptism. And a reminder that you're never too young or too old to stand up in front of people and say, Jesus is what my life is about. Summertime, one of the biggest church picnic baptisms we've ever celebrated. It's incredible. So much fun. Amazing to be able to welcome all these people into our church family and celebrate what God is doing in and through their lives. All right, opportunity for this next year for you. Oh, I talked a little bit about this last Sunday. I told you I'd tell you more about it. So in 2019, Dan and I are going to Israel, and we want to take a bunch of you with us. There's two people that are... I'm going to write you two down. I don't know if anybody else is coming with us, but... Most people that go to Israel will tell you it's absolutely life-changing. And we've got a bunch of people just in this service. I can tell you, you can talk to Alicia or Lori or Dave up there. But, I mean, there's a whole bunch of other people in here, Diane and Doug. A ton of people that have been to Israel. Well, I'll tell you, it's just an incredible experience. So the reason we're jumping on this opportunity this year, there's several of them, but one of them is the person that we have an opportunity this year to be our primary guide was a man who was the pastor at our church, who loves us and loves this church and this town and wants to make it the best opportunity for you. So Paul Knoll was a pastor here for 4.5 years. He's been to Israel 16 times. And this is what Paul wanted me to share with you. He says, it's my joy to extend to you an invitation to join me on a once-in-a-lifetime Bible study tour of Israel. We have two major purposes for this trip. First of all, there's no better way to understand the Bible than to study it in its geographical and cultural context. In visiting Israel, all of a sudden, biblical texts that have seemed obscure come alive. He said, our second purpose for the trip is our desire that having walked in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ, you may draw closer to him. This isn't a vacation. It's a Bible study unlike any you have ever experienced before. So if you want to find out more information about it, you can email me, or you can just go to our church website, and you can go on our menu to Israel trip. A sample itinerary is on there, a whole bunch of other information. The link to actually register for the trip is on there as well. Here's the thing. Inevitably, I know there are people out there that go, yeah, but Paul's a pastor, and he's been to Israel 16 times. Of course he's going to tell other people to come to Israel, right? But I want you to hear from a girl in our 20-somethings group in her 20s who just this fall got back from Israel. This is what Rochelle says. Visiting Israel should be a bucket list item for every Christian. I'm so grateful that I was able to go there in my 20s. The Bible came to life for me in so many new and exciting ways. When I read the teachings of Jesus now with the context of the place and the culture where he originally taught, I'm able to better understand what those teachings meant to the original hearers, what they mean for us today, and how Jesus really did and does know how to best love and reach people exactly where they are. She goes on to say, most of all, though, I know for the rest of my life, whether I'm facing highs or low points in my faith, any voice that wants to whisper to me that any of God's promises are false will quickly be silenced. Because after actually going to Israel, I can say I know God's words are truth because I've seen so much evidence supporting that with my own eyes. Young and old people alike. People have been Christians for a long time. People have been to Israel a lot. People go for the first time. It makes a huge difference in our life, and I hope that you will consider joining us this year. Now, that'd be great if that's your New Year's resolution. But my, New Year's resolutions are a big deal in a lot of people's lives. And I saw this week on my Instagram feed. The gym always gets overrun because people are always saying, I'm going to change my life. I want to get healthy, right? I'm going to change my diet. But I want to tell you, look, if you want to make a resolution that I think will be the biggest impact you can make in your life, Lifeway Research reminded me of this week. They do great studies from Christians. So they interviewed Christians who go to church at least 3 times a week, and they asked them this question, how often do you read the Bible? Less than 20% of people say they read the Bible every day. Now, when Lifeway does this research, one of the things they ask people is they ask people to measure their health in terms of how excited are you about sharing the good news about Jesus with other people. They ask people, how many hours a week of selfless face-to-face service do you do each month? How much money do you give every week? You know what's interesting? You know the highest determining factor to the health of every one of those other issues is how often you read the Bible. The more you read the Bible, the higher you score in every one of those other categories. How could that be true? See, I would argue with you, it happens because the more time you spend reading the God who gave us his word as truth, the more you'll come to know him, love him, and appreciate him. Look, as a Christian, if you say, the Bible is how I know God, the Bible is how I understand what God's done for me. If you say, the Bible is how I understand how to follow him, why would you not make a commitment to read it all the time, as often as possible? And look, if you want to read the whole Bible in a year, you read 3 chapters a day, you can get through the whole thing. There are some great chronological Bibles that you could read in a year that help you sort of weave the whole thing together. If you want to read a chapter a day, in the last year and a half, almost 2 years, my Bible reading has shrunken way down in terms of quantity. I rarely read more than a paragraph a day. Most days, for 7, 8, 9, 10 days, I read the exact same passage over and over and over again in different translations. I try and soak in it every day, small little pieces of it. I'm still spending the same amount of time, but just reading less. There's a bunch of ways you could do it, but the key is do it. Read it. Learn from it. Ask other people questions about it. Read it with other people. But if you're going to make a resolution this year, you want to go to Israel, great. You want to do our core values classes, great. Make a commitment to read the Bible all the time. It will impact your life. Long term, guaranteed. I hope that just getting a small flavor of the things that have made our year a fantastic year, I hope challenges and inspires you guys. I hope it stirs up in you some of the neat things that God's done in your life. And a great way to cap off this morning is to celebrate communion together. So we do what's called open communion, which means you don't have to be like a member of Sierra Community Church to celebrate with us. It just means that you have to, in your life, you have to say, my hope for forgiveness, my hope for the future, the thing I trust for reconciliation in my own life isn't that I'm a good person or I'm going to get it all together. It's that I trust in what Jesus did for me. That He died in my place and I have a rich life because of that. If that's true of you, I'd love for you to celebrate communion with us together today. The way we do this is people in the back row, if you guys can come up and you can come on up right now through the outside and come up. Remember, you can come on either side of the table. Preceding rows, just fill in as that last row comes up and grab a cup and a cracker. Head back up the center aisle to your seats and we'll partake together here in just 1 second. Our idea for communion comes right out of Jesus's very last meal that he celebrated with his good friends. This is what he said in Matthew chapter 26. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Right? Eat this, remembering Jesus' body was broken for us. He continued by saying, then he took a cup, he gave thanks, and he offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my body, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. You take your cup and pass it to the outside. Ushers are going to come by and pick it up here. God, thanks for the opportunity we have to get together this morning. Great opportunity to celebrate your goodness and the gift that you've given us from this church and the different people in it. Opportunity to give us to serve in such practical ways. Thanks for communion that gives us a reminder of the hope that we have because of who you are and what you've done for us. And God, that was... why we're so thankful for this last year, and it's why, thinking about tomorrow, why we're excited about life, because for as many days as you give us, you are our greatest gift. We want to enjoy it and proclaim your goodness every day in this new year. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.